Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Monday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. We want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It'd be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Battlefield.
That would be a little weird. Is this an actual battlefield from like Civil War or something?
That's a good question because I clicked on it, I was like, that's got to be up at like around Iuke or something. Yeah. Getting up in that area, you know, where closer to Shiloh.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. It's in Newton County, and it was named for a Choctaw battlefield.
Okay.
So probably they must have fought some settlers there or something. Now, the community was more recently home to a drag strip called the Battlefield Raceway that has since been shut down.
Well, you know,
I wanted to go down there and live my life a quarter mile at a time. Me and Brian O'Connor were going to go.
Nice.
So,
I said, forget about it, cuz.
An iconic line. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's only a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you are cooking out this weekend, it's an off weekend of college football, nothing to stress you out. Make beef the star of the show and enjoy a fantastic meal. Or if you just want to get, you know, you're thinking, okay, this Saturday I got no Mississippi State football to watch. I can just go do whatever I like. Hit up one of our awesome steakhouses around the state of Mississippi from South Haven to Biloxi. They are not hard to find. Enjoy beef this weekend. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. You all right?
Yeah, I was just trying to figure out this watch.
That watch, man, it did. I had the problem that you were talking about, where like if you don't wear it for a couple of days,
it'll turn.
You just got to do it again. But it's cool. It looks good. Yes, he sent me a picture last night. He did one. I think Moscona's going to get one. It is a badass LSU.
Are we allowed to talk about this?
Yeah, I've talked about it on the show. Show it off.
Oh, have you? So our good friend and listener.
Where is your camera? Like it's right there. This is your camera. This thing right here is your camera.
No, it's not.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. You're on your laptop. Never mind.
Yeah. So our friend Corey Pilkington, who has been listening to the show since his B&B show
days, yeah.
Who used to just absolutely roast us on a daily basis.
It was fun.
He made these watches.
They're so cool. Yeah.
So this watch he made from scratch.
He makes it. It's custom made.
Made one for my dad too. He made him a Steelers.
Did you
see the
video?
I did.
Okay.
My dad sent him a card this week. To thank you. Yeah,
big daddy.
He was like seriously impressed by the card.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
When he got the note, he was like, this guy said so much in so little space.
Yeah.
But my dad came back from Hawaii and I gave it to him and I filmed it to Corey.
Oh, it's such a great video.
My dad is a watch guy.
Yeah.
And he collects like Mississippi State, Steelers, like he collects those kind of watches.
Well, he's got a custom made one.
So now he's got a Steelers colors like watch. He was thrilled. I had to show him how to wind it.
Yeah, but it's so cool. Yeah.
Yeah. So
this I like wearing my
shout out to Corey for this.
If you want to check him out, he's on Instagram at Hive Time, HIVE Time. And he does state. He's got, if you're a Rebel listening, he's got Ole Miss. He's got LSU. He can put together whatever you like, I think. So
and these are top of the line watches.
They are fantastic.
They look so good.
They look so good. So, yeah, check them out.
I'm not a watch guy.
That's a free plug, but we got the watches, so it's not really free. He did give us something.
I'm not a watch guy, but I
am not either. I've been wearing mine.
I wear this all the time.
I'm not wearing it today. I don't think with shorts it's a great look. But when I wear pants, I'm wearing – not that I don't wear pants, y'all. Calm down.
When Brian decides it's time to put his pants on.
Yes.
He brings the watch on.
All right. The College Corner. CollegeCornerStore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. I know that you are looking for it. I know that it's on your mind. I know the Christmas holidays will be here before you know it. Get the maroon and white you need. Get the interlocking. Get the state script stuff that's only available at College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area, Ridgeon by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell, or you can shop online at CollegeCornerStore.com. Restaurant Tyler is Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch. The best meal in town. Always, always at Restaurant Tyler. If you want to have a fantastic meal, it's really simple. You just go down to Main Street. You got to park somewhere. You can't park in front of the restaurant right now. They're doing the beautification project on that side of the street. That's fine by us. But do the little walk. Head over to Restaurant Tyler. They are open for business, and they are open to provide you with an outstanding experience. When you want to have a fantastic meal, the best place to go is Restaurant Tyler.
Just left there.
Did you go? That's where you got brunch today?
Yep.
Nice. Very nice.
Fried catfish. Yep.
I like catfish. Priority One Bank, 16 locations here to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only how they're going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers. You need to talk to somebody who knows you and knows you as well as they know your money. Somebody who's going to treat you like a neighbor, not a number. You need a bank like Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Texas A&M 31, Mississippi State 9. Just a gross football game from start to finish. State, you know, had the lead for a good bit of the first half, was in the game late, but then it completely unraveled on the Bulldogs, and that's just where you ended up. 31-9 is your final score. We watched the game together. Now we'll hear what he has to say about it. Tell him, Falk.
Well, we're back to sad.
Yeah,
we're back to sadness. I wasn't totally shocked by this outcome. I thought it was possible. Mm-hmm. I predicted a 10-point loss, but I thought that this was certainly possible to have a game like this.
Mm-hmm.
This game to me felt like what we used to watch when Mullen would go to LSU, Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Like the offense just could never get off the ground.
Yeah,
and coincidentally, that second drive of the first half, when Devon Booth got turf monstered,
yeah,
and didn't score. I told you at that time, like, State will not score a touchdown right here.
Right.
And they didn't. They got inside the half-yard line, had a false start,
yeah,
and it killed the drive.
Mm-hmm.
And
on a play where they're going to snap it to Kamara Taylor, he's going
probably
to
gonna
score.
Probably going to score. So that, to me, exemplified, like, Mississippi State in this ball game. The offense just was not prepared or not – I don't know what the word would be, but they didn't look like they belonged on the same field as Texas A&M offensively.
It was a combination of they were outmanned, but they weren't well prepared. Yeah, no. I think you're right. I think that's where you are, yeah.
And I think we're at the point now where Albert Reese cannot be replaced for Mississippi State this year. They don't have enough tackles that you can sustain a loss like Albert Reese.
Mm-hmm.
So we said that was going to be a huge loss for Mississippi State this week. It was absolutely a huge loss, and it's really a shame when you look at the final stats. A&M rushed for almost 300 yards. They had almost, I think, 500 yards of offense.
Mm-hmm.
It did not tell the story of this ball game for Mississippi State defensively, because for 2.5 quarters, Mississippi State was playing incredible football on the defensive side. The effort, the execution was strong for them. But this game boiled down to, again, Mississippi State getting in its own way on the offensive side of the ball. Mistakes, penalties, the offensive line struggling to block, Blake Shapen not getting the ball out in time, fumbles that were just kind of inexcusable. Like, it's just this team is hurting itself. Mm-hmm. And they've overcome a lot of these issues so far this year, but the injuries, the mistakes that they're making, those are hindering Mississippi State from getting to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
But outside of, you know, the injury to Fluff Bothwell, mm-hmm. there to end the game, like, this is a game that I felt like State could just kind of throw away if it did happen,
mm-hmm.
the way that it did. I'm very concerned about the Fluff Bothwell situation. I'm mm-hmm. very concerned about Mississippi State from a depth perspective moving forward. It still does not change my thought process on where this team is, where mm-hmm. this program is under Jeff Lebby. People, again, just anytime Mississippi State loses, it's like straight to the extremes.
Right.
I just wish that people would be able to kind of take a step back, look at where things are, kind of survey the landscape with this program, and realize, like, they are not where they want to be. And Jeff Lebby has said that. This isn't the ceiling for this team. I don't think that you know, they're just happy with being 2 wins better than they were last year. This team's not there yet. And I think the 4-0 start clouded a lot of people's judgment on that. And I'm not saying to expect mediocrity or anything like that, but they went, at the end of the day, they went to a top 10 team on Saturday night. They're down 7-3 midway to late in the third quarter. They didn't execute at a very high level. This isn't a situation where, you know, State went on the road to play Kentucky and got destroyed. This is a very good A&M team, and this was going to be a game where State had to play extremely well to win it. They didn't. And going on the road's tough. It's going to be an experience that they could draw back on. This team has got to be better, but it's not time to fire Lebby. It's not time to, you know, make a change at quarterback. Again, I don't think that Blake Shapen is the problem on offense. I think that you can point to things that he does or doesn't do and say that it is a hindrance at times for Mississippi State. But there's also certain things that he can't control, like the offensive line right now being a complete mess. That's not on Blake Shapen. Now, he can get the ball out quicker in certain situations. He can have better reads. I'm totally with you there. But some of this stuff is not Blake Shapen's fault. We have to realize that they're extremely limited up front right now. And so maybe that's on Jeff Lebby to find ways to work around that. You have a problem on the offensive line. Maybe it's time for him to find other ways to get around it. And maybe that includes there was plenty of times last night where I thought you just need to try Kamario Taylor in this situation because he can do things that Blake Shapen can't. And I think it would actually work here. And I don't know if they're seeing things in practice where they just don't feel comfortable with that yet, if they don't want to create a quarterback controversy, if they don't want to overexpose him and have to deal with the stuff postseason in the offseason. I don't know what their reasoning is. I think that if he did show some things this year, you certainly are going to have to deal with that transfer portal stuff and all that. That comes with everybody. But you're trying to win games too right now. So I don't know what the answer is. I just know that in this ball game, again, State just didn't do enough. They desperately needed to get to the bye week. They're here. They need to rest up. They need to heal up. Pray as much as you can today, tomorrow, whenever that Fluff Bothwell is going to be able to get back this season. I would say right now it doesn't look good the way that he went off the field,
I would agree.
but you really need that guy back in the fold. I think he's a critical piece for this team moving forward. It's upsetting. It's frustrating, but everything that State wants to do, and the goals that they have set is still ahead of them here in the final half of the schedule.
Yeah, you can't disagree with that. And I feel like, you know, when you have a bad loss, it's kind of what you said, right? You really want to like zero in on all the negative stuff. And within this game, there is a lot to nitpick and say that was bad, that was bad, that was bad. Then you, if you get 1,000 feet up and you look at it, you go, well, what would you have, if I could go back to August 1, Robbie, and say, hey, at the bye, the first bye, they're 4-2. What do you say?
Take it all day.
Exactly.
And I think that's the perspective that we need. I think that I'm not even going to call State fans spoiled,
No.
because there is nothing about being a State fan that would make you spoiled. But I think people did get, they saw the 4-0 start and they thought, you know, we're back. We're going to be able to compete with anybody. And I think this team can. But you do have to remember, this team was 2-10 last year. They weren't close in these ball games last year. It's like baby steps. And you took some big baby steps in the first 4 games of the season. I thought you took a step forward against Tennessee, but you're still at the point where you've lost 14 straight SEC games. This team has got to find a way to win that first SEC game, get over that hump, and continue to build. And at the end of the day, as long as this team gets to 6 wins, I think that's the most important thing that can happen for them this year. However it happens, and I'm not just okay with 6, but I'm just saying going from 2 to 6, Jeff Lebby should be considered for SEC Coach of the Year.
Yes.
with what he inherited, what he had to do in the offseason, that is a tremendous jump. With the players that they have out there that weren't here last year, that's hard to do. So I'm not saying to accept it. I promise you, I'm not trying to excuse this loss or anything, but I do think that we have to take a step back and say, okay, let's refocus here, see if they can get to two wins by any means necessary. It's going to be a bumpy ride for you to get there. This isn't going to be pretty for Mississippi State the rest of the schedule, and we all knew that preseason. Brian predicted four wins. I predicted five. Most people in this fan base said six wins is going to be tough.
Yeah.
So I don't know what people expected here on the SEC schedule part of things. This is going to be hard.
Yeah.
This is going to be really hard.
I think the biggest thing is when you talk about expectation, go back to what we said when he was hired in his first year. You expect to lose some shootouts, right?
Yeah.
It's the nine. It's the nine points is killing people, right? If State had lost this game 31-28, or heck, I'll keep the same margin of victory. If they had lost 52-28, you could at least go, well, you know, it's Hutzler, and you know he's a convenient scapegoat. And now State fans don't know how to react when Hutzler is kind of the guy carrying the team right now.
Yeah. Well, and let's be fair here. They just scored 34 on Tennessee.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
they had a good game. Yeah.
It's not like the offense has been.
They had a bad night.
Massive problem. It was a bad night. I guess a really good defense,
with,
by the way.
With their best offensive lineman not playing. And they're just – we're going to get into – I'll get into that. We'll just leave it at that. Let's move on into it. These are the things that are true. This isn't a thing that are true, but I want to give a shout-out to our friend Daniel Black, who made the comment last night. This was Jeff Lebby's 2018 Kentucky game. You know, it stayed close. It stayed close, but State couldn't do anything. State couldn't protect the quarterback in that game. And then eventually the dam broke, and you lose by a large margin. That's what happened tonight. So not a thing that's true, but we made the comment last week about that was Mullen's 2009 LSU game. This was Moorhead's 2018 Kentucky.
Yep.
We'll see how it goes. All right, I got eight of them. Eight things that are true. Number one, I'm going to give you a quote from a guy who he's not much of a ball knower. He tries. He works really hard at it. But Brian Haydad once said, Mississippi State should be a run-heavy team this season. State's running backs had 22 carries last night. He had 20 passes. With this team, with this offensive line, with what you've got, with who your best players are, that is not what your personnel dictates that you can do. And personnel is what dictates what you can do. All right? I could come in, you know, Mike Leach could come back and say, I want to run the air raid with this team, and buddy, you're going to get killed out there, right? You got to do what your personnel dictates you can do. Ask Joe Moorhead. His first year, he had the personnel that if he just stuck, basically run Mullen's offense, he would have won 10 games. But he tried to do it his way, and he only went 8. And Lebby has at times shown that he's kind of flexible. I thought the way he played last year against Texas was an example of that, right? Tried to shorten the game and make it easy with the freshman quarterback. But Bothwell and Booth averaged over 5 yards a carry last night, and they only had the total of 22 carries. They should have had closer to, you know, State only ran 51 plays. That's a problem in and of itself. They kept
those two rushed for over 100 yards.
Yeah, they've got to touch. Well, not with Fluff now, but your running backs are your. I like Gayton too. Like. Gayton and Booth, if that's what you got to go with against Florida, they need to both be close to 20 carries.
And that's the
you
thing.
You need to run the football. This team can't. The pass protection is an issue, but the run blocking has been okay. And I understand teams are going to load up the box. Counteract that. Play two tight ends. Play two backs. Figure it out. You cannot just say, this is what I want to do offensively and do it when you don't have the personnel for it.
And part of that, I think, it falls on Chapin's shoulders because there's a lot of RPO in this offense.
There is.
And he makes a lot of those.
He made a couple bad reads.
It hasn't been great. Yeah. It hasn't been great for him this year. And I understand that completely with the fan base's frustrations. He has not been just phenomenal. But he hasn't been bad either. I mean, he's 15 of 20 in this game. I didn't think he was just awful. The interception he had came.
He got hit. Pressure. And it's going to be a touchdown.
Yes.
So that goes back to your offensive line, though. You don't have the line that can protect for long enough for the. And it sucks because you've got two receivers who can go get the deep ball.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest with you. I thought last night, Aiden Williams played pretty well. So maybe he's starting to come in. You've got some pieces, but man, you would.
It looks like Aiden is starting to take some of those reps.
That's what you need to have happen because he's got the higher seed.
But you know, Devon Booth is perfectly capable of taking Fluff's spot in Gary.
Absolutely is. And Gaten is capable of being the next guy.
This is why you brought Devon Booth back, and this is why everybody was so excited. I mean, he's fairly fresh. He only had 8 carries on Saturday night. So this is a guy that can carry it 25, 30 times
easily.
A game. I'm not concerned in the least about Devon Booth taking over. It's about the depth now. You're going to have – I mean, Seth Davis might have to get pushed up.
Yeah.
Colin Wilson, the freshman, maybe.
Maybe.
Because you do need that third guy just
in case. Johnny Daniels – can you get him back in the fold? I think you and I agree that Daniels is doing the Whittemore right now. That he's going to redshirt.
It feels like you're going to be without him.
Probably so. But, I mean, do you talk to him as like, hey, there's an opportunity for you here. Now we can make you the number two back. We can get you 10, 12 carries a game, something like that. I don't know.
Booth had 7 yards of rush last night. I mean,
that could have been closer to 9 or 10 if he doesn't trip.
Between these two, they had 119 yards rushing.
Yeah,
and your team had 77 because of those sacks.
Because of the sacks, yeah.
You've got to lean on this running game a little
more than you are. That all off season. We said that. All right, number two, you've got to figure out something with Kamario Taylor. He was going to get one snap. At some point, you just have to say, I know it's 2nd and 6, but Kamario, go in there.
Yeah.
And run a play. There was one play that really bugged me. And I'm going to have to talk through it, but they ran like a QB power. They faked it to the running back, but then he became the lead blocker and Chapin went in behind him. And he only got like 2 yards. I'm just thinking, let Kamario run that play. And yeah, the defense probably goes, hey, he's going to keep the ball. I think he would have gotten another yard.
Well,
he'll at least do what you thought you were going to get from Chapin there.
That's why you have got to let him throw a few passes.
You've got to figure this out. You can't just throw up your arms and say we're going to let the situations dictate it. You're on offense. You're the one who has to do the dictating. All right, you are the one who has to say I'm going to run this play. Kamario, go in 2nd and 6. Run the play, even if he's just handing the ball off.
Yeah.
Just to get him out there, you've got to. If you're not going to redshirt him, he has to play.
Yeah, and I still have this in the back of my mind. Like it's like we just don't want to overexpose him. Like that's just
playing like in terms in of my like head. Letting other teams see him.
Yeah,
like you can't play like
and you
that.
You can't do that in this. And I don't know that to be a fact, but
right.
I think that plays in the minds of coaches now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those deals like you got to play him, and then. Because you're trying to win games.
Right.
Do whatever it takes to win games. Like, if you put him out there on Saturday and you're just going to commit to, like, we're going to run the read and we might hit some big plays, like, I don't know if Texas A&M is going to consistently stop that.
Right.
If you're letting him just run a straight read option offense and he is, you know, taking his keys from what he sees from the defense.
Yeah.
And then every now and then, he might pull it and throw it down the field to a wide open Brennan Thompson or something. Mm-hmm. That is very difficult to stop. And Blake Chapin is just not built for that.
Well, let's talk about Chapin. That's number three here for me. Blake Chapin is what he is. We got to stop with the discussion of, well, if he would just get rid of the ball quicker. He's not going to. This is his 6th year of college football. You were saying this last night. At this point, this is what Blake Chapin is. This is what he gives you. Now,
because we're sitting there like, all right, this is a very easy thing in your head, if you're watching it, all right, nobody's open. There's somebody coming after me. I'm just going to throw it out of bounds.
He doesn't do that. That's
not his game. He's looking for the last chance.
I appreciate that because if it comes open, he has the arm to get the ball there.
But that's just who he is at this point.
Exactly. And the other thing with him is this. He's just limited by the offensive line. You know, you're talking about sometimes when you talk about Joe Moorhead used to talk about this, and I hate going back to Moorhead because he wasn't overly successful here, but he's correct. And it's like when you have a running quarterback, you play football 11 on 11. When you don't have a running quarterback, you play a little bit 10 on 11 because that guy's not, you know, and when you have the QB run, you can block with an extra guy in the box, right? But when you don't have QB run, you're going to have a mismatch somewhere. And so Chapin, and this is so funny, right? We spent the whole week talking about Chapin, like, look, it's not that bad. They're 4-1. They're not going to change quarterbacks. And then he goes out and he doesn't play well. Yeah. And it gives the people who want to bench him even more ammo. I still don't think that's going to make a difference. I don't think it's going to. But 2 and 3 are kind of tied together. Chapin is limited, right? So where he's limited is where Kamario Taylor has to be able to help you.
And that's what if you remember, like when this thing was starting in 09 and 10, that's kind of how Mississippi State played. There were certain ways that Tyson Lee helped you, and that he kind of led the team. He was making mostly smart decisions, things like that. But he couldn't do the things that Chris Relf could do.
Right.
And Chris Relf could run the offense like they needed it to be run. And it's kind of this situation, like there's certain ways that Kamario can help you win games.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not saying they need to make a change at quarterback. It's just that they've got a Mustang on the sidelines over there.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just kind of just sitting there for now. He could help you this year.
Right.
He could help do a lot of things for you. And right. Maybe they're seeing some things, and you know, Jeff Lebby deserves a lot of credit in what he sees in quarterbacks and developing quarterbacks and evaluating quarterbacks. He might be seeing that Kamario can't make the reads right now. I mean, we haven't seen that yet. When he's gotten in there, he's made some pretty good reads, but maybe they just don't feel confident about him going in there and being able to dissect the defense just yet and make those plays.
Yeah.
But if there's anything that he can do, we talked about this preseason with Coleman Hutzler, and we asked him about Tyler Lockhart, and you know, could he help the team? And he said he will be on the field if he can help him.
And now he's getting a run
and had a couple mistakes yesterday, but that's a freshman learning.
I don't mind aggressive mistakes. That penalty ended up costing State. It actually did not cost State.
They got the goal line stand.
But it should have cost them. I get.
And it was a really weak call. But you can't put your hands on.
I said this, like, if he does this and he touches him, nothing happens, right? But he extended his arms just enough to make it look like a shove, and that was the problem.
On the next possession, there was a pass interference from Texas A&M that they didn't call, where they basically were blocking out.
Yeah.
I think it was Anthony Evans, and there was more contact on that than there was on the
right.
enforcement light,
right?
But or there, it was unnecessary roughness. Which,
right.
If you think that's being rough, then
yeah. All right, where are we at? Number four. I got to be a little critical of Lebby here. You're down 22 with like 4 minutes to go. Flop Popwell should not be in the game.
No.
When he got injured, there was no reason to be in there. If you want to keep Shaping in there, just to maybe, because you're thinking maybe he can get another touchdown and get a little confidence. I get that, right? Flop Popwell's got to be on the sidelines there. That's Xavier Gayton and Seth Davis time.
It was 31-9. You're not coming back.
Just get him out of the game. That one's – I'm not trying to say that he got hurt because of Jeff Lebby. I want to make that clear.
Yeah.
But having him in at that time is a mistake. You cannot give me anything. Lebby can't say anything that makes me believe that was a good idea.
No.
So.
It's just unfortunate. It's like the most Mississippi State thing ever, too.
Speaking of that, good call. Number five. This is the third game in the Jeff Lebby era where I say that the offense is the reason they lost the game. Believe it or not, Arizona State last year is one of them. Defense only gave up 23 points in that game.
Yeah.
Oh, the Ole Miss game. Now this one. And you're a miracle touchdown.
And I don't think it was his fault in that Ole Miss game. They had some...
Ole Miss was the best defense in the country last year. They had great players.
And they had some mistakes in that game that wasn't really his fault.
But if you say, why did you lose the game in that one, you're not blaming the defense.
Yeah.
And then you're a miracle touchdown away from it being four. Because you should have lost to Arizona State this year, but you found a way at the end.
In the second half, they were not good.
They were not good. I mean, really, they had a couple of big plays in the first half. They didn't string together drives or anything. They just had two big passing plays.
Yeah.
So what is it about this school with the offensive coaches? That's what I want to know. It's like, you don't hire Jeff Lebby to lose 31-9 and have 220 yards of offense. And really only have like 120 yards before it was out of hand. What is it here in the water that makes offensive coaches forget how to play call? I don't know if it's a thing that it's true or not, but it is. You know?
Well, and I think that this offense still has, like, you look at it and, you know, if they had a better offensive line, I think that the outlook of this team is totally different.
Mm-hmm.
If they had an offensive line that could hold up for longer than 2 or 3 seconds routinely, we're talking about this offense totally different. It's mostly a personnel thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's all Jeff Lebby. I don't think it. I mean, the play calling wasn't great yesterday, but I'll just say I see a lot more potential in this offense than I have in most offenses at Mississippi State. I
Yes.
think there is a
You see,
ton of
that's
potential.
what makes me mad. Like with Moorhead, I was just like, I don't know, man.
Yeah, we saw that Moorhead was just not. He was never willing to adjust based on his
Right.
personnel.
I feel like Lebby has shown at times he's like, man, he really knows what he's doing. The way they're able to run the football. The way this offensive line, regardless, isn't great, but they've been able to run the football. Just that's just you like I guess my thing that is true is you don't hire Jeff Lebby to lose 31-9.
You just shouldn't have games like you had on
Yeah,
Saturday.
agree. All right, speaking of the offensive line, you ready to set a record? This is the longest thing that is true that I've ever had.
Okay.
Ready? Grant Jackson, Calvin McMillan, Reed Bies, Scott Lashley, Cannon Boone, Gabe Cavazos, Albert Reese, Nick Jones, Carson Williams, Percy Lewis, Lucas Taylor, Jackson LaHue, Jackson Cannon, Stephen LaSoya, Leon Bell, Zay Alexander, Amari Smith, Jaden Hobson, Malik Ellis, Jimothy Lewis, TJ Lockhart, Luke Work, Jacoby Jackson, Marlon Martinez, Mykylen Pounders, Ethan Miner. That's every offensive lineman State signed since the class that Charles Cross was in. There's one blue chip guy in there. It's Jimothy Lewis. Ethan Miner ended up being a pretty good player. Nick Jones is a good player. Albert Reese has been a good player for State. I'm missing Luke Work. I mean, Luke Work, Jacoby Jackson, Marlon Martinez, Mykylen Pounders all started games, but I mean, Pounders wasn't very good. Martinez wasn't very good. This is who you've recruited. You've gotten, there's one 4-star kid in there named Jimothy Lewis. He's not ready just yet. Grant Jackson, Calvin McMillan, Reed Bies never played. Gabe Cavazos didn't make it through a spring. Carson Williams, I don't think, made it through a spring. Percy Lewis is at his second school since he left Mississippi State. Lucas Taylor retired from football. Jackson LaHue, he retired from football, right? He's hurt. Jackson Cannon. LaSoya was okay at State. He was good last year at Vanderbilt. He could have helped Mississippi State last year. Leon Bell left Mississippi State, hasn't done anything. Zay Alexander never played. Amari Smith never played. Jaden Hobson never played. Malik Ellis, they tried to move him to tight end, and then when they moved him back to O-line, it didn't work. TJ Lockhart, he's young, but the fact that he can't get in when the offensive line is this bad is probably not a good sign. I didn't include the guys they brought in this year. That's 2020 through 2024. That's why your offensive line's not any good. Who's playing? Who's any good in that signing group?
And it's way too early for people to say Phil Loedholt stinks.
Right.
He does not have a lot to work with here.
If
He
after
did.
if they're bad next year, I'll say he stinks.
He has time to fix this next year.
Yeah.
There's no excuses not to have it fixed next year. But it's too early, and there's been too many things working against Phil Loedholt to blame him for all this. And he did the best that he possibly could. I mean, shoot, the two of the starters on the offensive line, they brought in during the spring or after the spring because the offensive line was so bad, they had to go get other guys. So actually, three starters that they've had in the first five games, six games, were brought in by Phil Loedholt.
Yeah.
And Javin James has been better than expected. He
Yeah.
wasn't great yesterday, but he's been better than
I
expected.
agree with that.
Flapjack Owen has started
Every
every
game.
game.
He's played almost every meaningful snap.
I don't think he's just been terrible.
Yeah.
Blake Steen was starting at right tackle. It was too early to cross him off the list just based on one half of football too.
Right. I
So Phil Loedholt, sorry, that was me.
thought somebody knocking.
Phil Loedholt, it's too early on. He inherited a
It's bad.
not a good offensive line.
Yeah. Oh, well, I should mention that State in that time has had what? Correct me if I'm wrong, but it's Marcus, the guys who recruited those guys, Marcus Johnson, Mason Miller, Will Friend, Cody Kennedy. So four different offensive line coach, and only one. Kennedy's the only one who got a blue chip guy. He got Lewis.
Well, no,
That
that's
was
Friend,
Friend.
Will
You're right. That's
Friend.
right. It's Friend. Yeah. I mean, that offensive line was terrible when he was here, but.
That is Mississippi State's biggest issue right now is offensive line, and they've
And this is a state that doesn't, they don't, we don't produce a ton of,
no, they're gonna have to go out of
you have
state
to
to
go
get
out
a
of state for
guys.
those guys. And that makes it tough too. It's tough to get 4-star offensive linemen out of Alabama when Alabama and Auburn want them. It's tough to get them out of Louisiana when LSU wants them. Texas, same thing. It's tough.
They need some retention this year. They need to keep Owens, James, who's it, Jimothy, Luke Work, those guys need to stay
need
and
to
develop
develop some guys
because they can get better and be better next year. But right now, you've got, first of all, Albert has got to be back. You got to have him back in 2 weeks, and he's got to be back in there. The line looks disheveled without him.
Yes.
So you got to have him, and then from there, you have to work around your issues. If you're a really good offensive coach, you find ways to get around your deficiencies and to hide them. So that's what Phil Loadholt and Jeff Lebby have to do when they're running this offense. They've got to do what this team's strength is, and that's probably run the football. They block better in the run game than they do in the past.
Well, it's the way they've recruited. Like, they recruited these big road grader guys.
Yeah.
Let them grade the road.
Yeah.
So, number seven. There's one thing you cannot argue with. You cannot argue with what I'm about to say. That Coleman Hutzler's done a fantastic job. I mean, from where they were last year at this time to where they are now, it's completely different. He did a great job. He got the right players in. The second year, I think the continuity has helped. Obviously, bringing in some veteran voices didn't hurt anything. He's just made all the right decisions. If you want to point to something for Lebby and say, where did he make a good decision? He made a good decision keeping Coleman Hetzler. We can't argue that anymore. This defense played great football Saturday night. They just got let down by their offense, and they end up, you know, the score does not indicate how good Coleman Hutzler's defense played.
And the idiotic Texas A&M fans jumping to my mentions about, that's the final score and the stats didn't say they did a good job. If you watch football and you actually know how to, like, look at a game and break it down or watch it beyond just the score of the game, you can't tell me that Mississippi State's defense wasn't playing.
It was 3 in the fourth quarter.
I mean, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you're not able to admit that, then you're just a hater at this point. But I feel like a lot of people want to take away any credit for Hutzler that were very quick to blame him for all of the issues. If we're going to blame him for last year, if we're going to say Coleman Hutzler didn't know what he was doing, the defense being what it was 100% on him, whatever, you have to give him 100% of the credit on this. Now, I don't think it's 100% for him. I think there's a lot of things that went into this defense being better. I think they got deeper and more talented. I think the additions of two former head coaches that were also successful defensive coordinators, I think those guys are helping this defense tremendously. But Coleman Hutzler's calling the shots.
Right.
This is his defense. He's calling the plays. He's putting people in position to make the plays. Coleman Hutzler deserves his flowers here.
I agree.
And he's been, he's improved the recruiting a little bit. He's gotten more depth on this team. He's gotten better players. Hutzler deserves credit for Mississippi State's defense being better than competent. They actually look like a good defense.
You know, I feel like you and I, you've seen Major League, right?
Yes.
And they're like, you know, these guys, they're not so effing bad. That's what's right now, like, you know.
And what we said preseason was like, can they just be not good?
Yeah.
And they're better than not good. They're actually a decent
They're
defense.
Okay. I mean, that's a huge jump.
I mean, if you look back, I remember watching the Texas game, and when State got off the field, it felt like a miracle.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't know if
any
they were
time
get
last
stopped.
Year, every game, anytime they got a stop, I was like, I can't believe it.
And now they're stringing together two quarters worth of stops.
Yeah.
And that is a giant turn of events.
Agreed. All right, last one. So everything else is just kind of in the moment here. This is the big picture one. Last one. The season isn't over because of a road loss to the number six team in the country. And you got a lot of people who are like, it's over. Guys, it's not over. Is every week going to be a challenge? Yes. Guess who told you that in June? The two guys sitting right here. We said State was going to have to work really hard in every game they played. They would get a couple of gimmies in with Alcorn. You would hope Southern Mississippi would be a gimme. You would hope Northern Illinois would be a gimme. They ended up being that. But every other game was going to be a struggle from the first snap to the last. And State would have to play good football and limit mistakes and get some big plays, and they would have chances to win these games. Anybody who tried to tell you that this was ever going to be an easy season was just misguided. There's just no other way around that, all right?
Well, those people knew it was going to be tough. It's just
Well, yeah, they just they can't bring themselves to say it out loud. They feel like they're doing somebody a disservice by being dishonest with themselves and everybody else. I'm not going to be that way. I'm going to be honest with you. And if you did, you thought for 1 second that State was ever, State's not going to blow anybody out this year in the SEC. If they do, then that's a tremendous sign. If State can somehow win a game by 20 plus points in this SEC schedule, that's great. That's something we really should be happy about.
When people who predicted Mississippi State to lose this game preseason are getting mad at you and I for predicting them to cover on the road against a top 10 team,
Yeah, I had them losing by what, four?
you had it as a very close game. Mine was 27-17. I thought they would struggle to score in this game. So like when those people like were mad at us, I knew this was going to be kind of a meltdown the board. But and on social media was an absolute disaster
It's
last night.
awful.
It's like,
Like,
guys, like,
yes, they're 4-2.
I just wish, like, sometimes people were, like, it sounds like we're
Talk it
just
down.
accepting mediocrity here, but like, I wish sometimes that people would have a little bit of realism in there. Like, okay, like, this sucks. I wish we played better, but did anybody actually predict this? Like, in your brain, did you actually think State was going to go on the road to Texas A&M and win handily? Like, it doesn't compute with me. And I like,
This is
if you could say that's poor roll or whatever, but this team is not ready for that. They're
never
not
mind that.
there.
Never mind that, Robbie. Like 1998, State wins the SEC West, but they lose to LSU 41-6. Right?
That was rough.
That was
I
a
remember
bad
that well.
loss. 1994.
And that wasn't like the best of the best LSU teams either.
Right. 94, State goes 8-4 that year. They lost to Auburn 42-18 at home. 2000, that's another 8-win SEC team, but they lose to a not great Ole Miss team, 45-30. Looking ahead, looking to the Mullen era.
They lose to South Carolina that year too.
They did.
South Carolina was not great
That was
that
not
year.
great. 2015, Dax last year, you won 9 games total, but you lose to Alabama 31-6. You go ahead, look ahead to 2017, another 9-win team. You lost to Georgia 31-3 and Auburn 49-10. Sometimes you just have a bad loss. And I'm not saying this team's going to end up winning 9 games, but I'm just saying sometimes you just have a bad loss. Again, it's another week of sometimes you just lose to a better team.
And also, I do think what I thought was going to happen in this game, where State came out and they were still a little down. I thought that the offense never really looked like they were locked in and ready to
I
roll.
agree.
The defense brought it.
And I don't know, is that game a little different if Booth scores there? If he
Yeah.
doesn't get tripped? Maybe a little different. I don't know, but
I do
if you
think.
don't, it's just a bunch of little things. He trips on a game play where he's obviously going to score. You get a false start where you're going to score a touchdown because Kamara is just going to smash it in the end zone. Chapin gets hit. If he had another half second, he's going to throw the ball deep and probably score a touchdown. This is the margins here. They're so fine for Mississippi State. They don't have room for error.
No.
And so you end up with a result like last night. But I'm not going to sit here and tell you that, well, pack it in 4-8 definitely now. And I'm the guy who predicted 4-8. But watch this game and look around the SEC. Look at Texas right now. We're talking about them in just a minute. They're awful. Florida is not a, I don't care what happened with the Texas game. They're not a good team. Arkansas is Arkansas. They're not a good team. There's winnable games left. No, there's no question about that.
Yeah, it's way too early to make any kind of declarations on this team and program. It really is kind of like a week by week deal. Is Florida off next week? No, they play Texas A&M.
They have A&M. They're at A&M. That's a interesting game all of a sudden, right?
Yeah, and this the State game falls in an interesting time
It
here.
does.
It's in between Georgia and A&M.
Yeah. Well, they have a bye.
They do have a
They have
bye
a
after.
bye after they play State, but
But
if
that's
they
still a
lose
game to
badly to
prepare.
A&M, then it becomes, well, what happens if they lose to State? So that it's just not over. It's just not over.
No.
So, all right, let's move into the rest of the show that's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats and the Older Brother. I ate at the Older Brother on Friday with my mom and my daughter Aislinn, and was it good? You want to guess?
Yes.
It was good. It's fantastic. I just realized I sent you the ad read.
I read through it a while ago. I was like, am I supposed to
No,
get
I, that's my I thought I sent it to me. That's my bad. It's fine. But it's still on my computer because I sent it to you.
There you go.
Anyway, Two Brothers Smoke Meats and the Older Brother, two fantastic places to eat. Obviously, it's a bye week. I don't know if fall break's going on at State or not. I know it
Yeah.
is. It is at Starkville High. So, you know, if you're in Starkvilleite, if you're a Stark villain, you can go over there. Maybe if maybe a little less of a crowd, but the food always really good. I'll definitely do Two Brothers this week for sure. I haven't been in a, I'm, well, I say I haven't been in a while. I was there last Friday, but I don't care. That's a while. That's a while for me. I'll be there soon. Two Brothers Smoke Meats and the Older Brother. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for 50 years.
50, brother.
When you need technology for your business, give Advantage Business Systems a call today. If you are, you know, your copier goes down, your printer, and you're thinking, I got to have something to get that fixed, that's where Advantage Business Systems comes in. Great product, as I mentioned. You get the best top of the line copiers, printers, computers, whatever. But more importantly, a fix when something goes wrong is just a phone call away. And it's not a 1-800 number. It's not being on hold for 45 minutes to an hour. It's easy to take care of it when you talk with Advantage Business Systems. 601-362-9192 or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Quick fantasy football interjection here. I have Rico Dowdle on my bench. He has 184 yards rushing.
Wow.
Like, who? All right. I'll keep an eye on that. We'll
Is
monitor
he
that situation.
with the
It's with
Cowboys?
the Panthers.
Okay,
They're
he
losing, and he's losing.
wow.
That's a what a
The
weird game.
Panthers stink.
Yeah, they're really bad. They're playing the Dolphins, though.
The
So we think they
Panthers.
would. Did
Mirror
you see?
Barbershop, the
Well, you
Panthers.
saw the I tagged you in it, the Panthers podcast that basically said we can't do this anymore.
That was great.
I was like,
I legitimately last year with that was in the back of my mind,
there are a
like,
couple.
man, maybe.
There have been some pods where I'm just like, I really don't want to do this. But
Last year, that's why this year, like,
Phil,
the last
not
2 weeks have just sucked, but this year, like, it feels like
So,
Glory Town.
Maroon and Co. is the place to go to get the maroon and white gear that you got. I need the weather to turn a little bit cooler outside because I just bought a brand new hoodie. It's really light. I could probably wear it in like in the 70s. The 80s might be a little bit much, but I can't wait to put that thing on. They have some awesome stuff at Maroon and Co. Maroon, white, gray, black, state script, interlocking, M over S. They've got it all. And best of all, they have our promo code so you can save a little money. Thunder 15 takes 15% off regular price. Some exclusions do apply. Before you go to Davis Wade Stadium, make sure you go to Maroon and Co. Are you out in the yard this weekend? Are you, you know, we're getting to that time of year where you, maybe you can, you know, you're thinking less about mowing the grass and more about, you know, home repair and you know, getting ready for winter. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden. But if you are still out there mowing, John Deere, you want a John Deere mower. You want the best of the best. They've got them at Scruggs, and their commercial mowers, we're talking great financing, in some cases up to 0%, in some cases up to 60 months. How good's your credit? Do you have Richard Cross style credit where your credit score is just the infinity loop? If that's what you've got, go talk to the good people at Scruggs. But hey, it doesn't matter how good your credit is, they can find a deal that works for you. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo, they have what you want for less. Very excited to welcome our newest sponsor here on Thunder and Lightning, the people at Good Hope Land and Timber. They specialize in helping landowners like you make smart, sustainable decisions. They have years of experience in forestry and land management, and they are your full-service land and timber company. If you're looking to purchase timber or land, if you're looking to get to do plantation thinning, timber management, development, harvesting, their team handles it all safely, efficiently, and sustainably. Their logging force is fully trained under the Sustainable Forestry Initiative and follows best management practices so you can trust that your land is in good hands. You're talking about your land here, all right? God ain't making no more of it. You got to make sure that you've got the best team behind you. That's what you've got when you talk to the good people at Good Hope Land and Timber. Good Hope Land and Timber, locally trusted, landowner approved. Welcome to Thunder and Lightning. We are so glad to have you on. It's important if you're a landowner to talk to our good friends at Good Hope Land and Timber. But what else is important? Let's talk about it.
Let's talk about something important. Put that coffee down. Coffee's for closers only.
Coffee is for closers is brought to you by Strange Brew Coffee House. Today is Shane Reed's birthday, by the way.
Oh, good. Happy
Happy
birthday,
birthday,
Shane.
Shane. I thought I was going to brew it forward for him. And
Yes.
he said he didn't like coffee.
He was we also
I told him you need to invent scone it forward then. Do something.
Well, that's a lie.
I know he loves coffee.
We also forgot the other day to do the stranger appreciation after he gave us a 2-day head start.
He texted us 2 days ahead. This is the thing though, Shane, if you're listening, we normally record between noon and 2. All right. Hit me up then. Because even if I'm recorded it and I've done your read, I'll go in and redo that. But if you tell me 2 days ahead of time, buddy, I'm like a goldfish.
Yeah, and I feel bad for some people because they'll tell us stuff and we just forget because we're just so I got so many things.
I got nothing left to give. All right,
we're just doing so many things at once. Like it's hard to remember.
You ever look at your computer hard drive and it's like 98% of your C drive is taken up? That's me. I got 2% left, maybe.
It's all like pictures.
Yeah, it's rough. All right, Jeff Lebby, no coffee, no espresso shaken with 6 shots in it. None of that for you, Jeff. The game plan was bad. There's just no getting around the fact that the game plan was not right. Your offensive line is struggling. You've got to find ways to help them. That's your job. They pay you $4+ million a year to do that. That's Jeff Lebby's job. He's got to fix that. Jeff Lebby, no coffee for him. That's going to be a tough one. I know he's a big coffee guy. In the SEC, holy cow, Texas is bad. They're not good. Defensively, they're okay. But they made Lagway look like they showed what Lagway why he's one of the top prospects, right? He looked good. They're 3-2. Hold on. Let's do it. 3-2. They have Oklahoma this week. If Mateer was there, this would be a no-brainer.
Yeah.
But even as it is, Texas is only a 3-point favorite. And I don't know that they should be favored. Then they're at Arkansas. I'm sorry. Then they're at Kentucky. They're at Mississippi State. Vandy can beat them. Georgia will beat them. They'll probably beat Arkansas. But they could lose 2 more games and be 8-4.
Mm-hmm.
That could easily happen. So, and Arch, boy, dude, nobody missed bigger than Paul Feinbaum on him, but a lot of us missed. I'm one of them.
Well, what I always said about him was, like, I think that he's a good player.
Mm-hmm.
But if his name was you know, Johnson,
yeah,
he'd just be like a mid-level 4-star.
Right.
I think that there's no question his brand and everything was elevated because he was a Manning.
No doubt.
And it's kind of been unfair to him.
But in fairness to him, though, the previous two guys that were Mannings were elite quarterbacks.
Yes.
And they just thought it was keep going, you know.
He is not on the level of Peyton and probably even Eli.
Mm-hmm.
He's just not on that level.
No, he's not. And he's just not.
I think he's a good player, but he's not.
One of my friends, I think it was Ryan Nelson, sent me a text. He's just like, you can see who his dad is.
Yeah.
the least athletic one.
If you put him and Peyton side by side, like, it's not even close.
They don't look
like
the same.
I don't know why. Like, well, I do know why. It's because his name's Manning, mm-hmm. but the expectations that were put on that kid are just nuts. If he wasn't able to surpass Quinn Ewers as a Manning, that should have been a red flag for people.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, he's not that.
No, he's not that at all. And then nationally, I mean, congrats on 2 weeks in a row, guys. Not a lot of teams get 2 weeks in a row, but Penn State.
Ooh.
So I don't know if I mentioned this to you or not. But you know Bill Connolly, you know his S&P Plus formula, right? He had a thing where he was looking at teams and their percentage chance to go undefeated. This was last week now, so Penn State had already lost. We're not talking about Penn State as much. And then somebody asked him, hey, what's UCLA's percentage to go winless? It was 61%.
God.
It was 61%. And then they went and beat Penn State. Shout out to Neuheisel's son, who looks like Ric Flair circa 1985. He's got the flow.
Yeah.
Fantastic. He'll be a head coach soon enough. James Franklin, it's time. Franklin has officially reached the Mullen point where, like, he's won, but his fans are tired of him.
Mm-hmm.
It's time. He needs to go to Florida. He needs to go somewhere and move on.
He did that thing yesterday where he started complaining about the travel and stuff. This is what
this
you
is
signed
what,
up
for. You signed up for this, guys.
You guys wanted
more money.
More money with the Big Ten. This is what happens whenever
you could have avoided this.
Yeah.
It was totally avoidable.
And next year when UCLA comes there or whatever their schedule is, they'll have to deal with the same thing.
So Texas and Penn State are both still in the top 25, as you can know, right? 23 teams in the top 25 have a Power Four win. Two do not, Texas and Penn State. Why is Texas ranked? I have no idea. They have beaten nobody.
Two overrated brands.
They're brands. Yeah, that's all it is. No coffee for Texas, no coffee for Penn State. Sorry, Tyler, if you're listening on the Texas one. I don't know any Penn State fans, so they'll be all right.
David
David
Eckert,
Eckert. I like David. That's too bad.
who's actually covering Texas, so he's got
Yeah,
best
he's
of both
no
worlds.
coffee for him at all.
Poor David.
I feel bad for him. All right, tomorrow's show, you know what it is. We'll talk to Levy. I don't know. Will we not? They haven't announced
I
it.
was going to ask. I
We
don't.
haven't gotten the
I
message
don't
yet.
remember. You know, used to it was like we. I don't think we did a press conference or we did a media availability.
Yeah, they like because they want you to get the players at least. So I don't know. We'll figure that out. But we have that. We'll have our SEC picks. We're still even. We got to. We're gonna pick different tomorrow. I can feel it. Tomorrow we're gonna get a little separation. It's
Probably.
gonna happen. All right, guys. Talk to you tomorrow for Robbie Falk. I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.